You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO at 102.7 FM.
Last Friday, BC Minister of Environment Terry Lake and Minister of Aboriginal Relations and Reconciliation Mary Pollock outlined new requirements for the Enbridge Northern Gateway oil pipeline project. They included conditions relating to First Nations and to marine and land oil spill prevention and recovery, among others. Premier Christy Clark also made a bid for a share of Alberta's royalties and tax revenue from the project. Yesterday in Halifax, Clark refused to sign on to a new national energy strategy until the dispute with Alberta is settled. To find out what's behind all these developments, I'm joined on the phone by Sven Biggs, campaign director with Tanker Free BC. Good morning, Sven.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Now, let's look at the conditions that Christy Clark's government announced a week ago. What does she have to say about marine and land oil spills?
Well, I mean, basically, she's calling for world-leading standards. And I think it's a little misleading because everywhere in the world where the oil industry goes, they claim that they have the best technology ever. And everywhere they go, they leave an environmental mess in their wake. So I would caution British Columbians to not read too much into these promises.
Well, I looked at that world-leading practices, and then I thought about what happened in the Gulf of Mexico, and I thought, well, that's really not very good, as you say.
No, and I think the other thing that we should understand is that the oil that they're planning to move, it's not conventional oil, so the cleanup is much different. They're moving something called diluted bitumen, which is basically tar sands straight from the mines mixed with condensate. And that's a soup of chemicals that make that just viscous enough to move through a pipeline. And when it spills, the condensate evaporates rapidly and everything else sinks to the bottom. All the oil cleanup technology that we've invented so far is for skimming light crude off the top of water where it floats to the surface. We don't really have any technology to get oil off the bottom of a river or a seabed. And that's what we'd be facing if there was a spill along the Douglas Channel or here in the lower mainland in Burrard Inlet.
Now, BC First Nations have been leading the way in opposition to Enbridge's pipeline. What does the government have to say to them?
Well, basically, they've reaffirmed the Haida decision in 2004. The Supreme Court ruled that the government has a duty to consult and accommodate First Nations. And that's all they've really said here, that they're going to follow what's already on the books as the law.
Now, there's also a condition in there about the environmental review process, which rings a little hollow in view of what Stephen Harper has done to that process with the recent budget bill. And the final condition is about getting a fair share of the profits, which I want to get to in a minute. What's Christy Clark's goal, in your opinion, with this announcement?
I think her goal is mostly political. It's to muddy the waters around her position. I would describe her as being definitely maybe for the pipeline at this point, and she's trying to just put up a wall of smoke to mislead voters on where she really stands.
What do you make over the dispute with Alberta over profits from the pipeline?
Well, I think most of the people that were working on this campaign knew this was going to happen sooner or later, that there would be a demand for some share of the royalties from Alberta or elsewhere. I think what we know is that Alberta actually gets very low royalties compared to other jurisdictions and doesn't have a lot to give. It's also interesting to note that there's no scenario on the table where the companies pay more. We're simply fighting over what little tax revenues come from these projects instead of trying to get the corporations to pay a fairer share.
So from what you said so far, it seems to me that this announcement contains conditions that are already in place, and so nothing new there, and a demand for more money.
That's basically it. And it's interesting, since the announcement, how quickly things shifted to being about money instead of about protecting the environment. And I think if we talk to British Columbians, I think we're going to find that there is no price high enough that Alberta or the companies can pay to make an oil spill worthwhile.
This announcement of requirements comes hard on the heels of the U.S. National Transportation Safety Board report slamming Enbridge for its mishandling of a major oil spill into the Kalamazoo River in 2010. Do you think there's a connection?
Oh, definitely. I think that in the wake of that announcement where the National Transportation Safety Board called Enbridge the Keystone Cops, it upped the amount of pressure that was on Christy to make some sort of move. She'd been trying to dodge this issue entirely and hope that no one noticed, and it became impossible. So now we've seen some movement. We actually, interestingly enough, the Federal Minister of the Environment was in town last week, and he said in response, well, maybe we need tougher environmental and safety laws around pipelines, which is ironic because his government had just finished gutting those laws. So I think it's certainly caused a lot of movement on this file, and we're going to continue to hear more out of Michigan, I think, as that story unfolds, because there's still quite a mess, although the river has been recently officially opened to the public after a two-year attempted cleanup.
What did you take from the National Transportation Safety Board report? What stuck out for you?
Well, I found it interesting. I mean, this is one of the first major diluted bitumen spills, and how difficult it was for them to clean up that spill. The other thing that really jumped out at me was the parallels to the existing Kinder Morgan pipeline that runs from the tar sands to Burnaby, and of course Kinder Morgan has announced that they want to double that pipeline. The existing pipeline is about 60 years old and was built for light sweet crude and is now carrying diluted bitumen and other tar sands products. And it's very similar to the story out of Kalamazoo where they did that with Enbridge did that with an aging pipeline there.
So essentially the kind of material that the pipeline is made of is similar to what was in Kalamazoo, and the switch over to a different kind of oil is similar?
Yeah, and we know that everywhere where we're there, they use put tar sands through a pipeline, the chances of a spill or a rupture increase. It's the mixture of chemicals and all the sand are just harder on the pipes, and it's very concerning to know that that's going right through our communities.
Has Christy Clark addressed public concerns about that pipeline, the Kinder Morgan pipeline?
Well, it's interesting that this announcement on Monday, it was about heavy oil pipelines. It didn't specifically say Enbridge or Kinder Morgan. And in questions afterwards, I believe Minister Terry Lake mentioned both. So I think that the same five conditions are going to apply to both pipelines. Kinder Morgan's about 2 years behind Enbridge in the approval process, so it has been less of an issue so far, but I think as British Columbians find out more about this pipeline, they're going to be equally horrified.
Is there a connection between these two pipelines in terms of getting the tar sands oil? Is it like one or the other?
Not necessarily. I think that the Harper government has big plans to expand the tar sands, and the number one obstacle to doing that right now is their ability to get tar sands oil to market. So they could easily approve both of these pipelines and the Keystone XL pipeline and future projects and just continue to grow the amount of oil they're extracting out of the tar sands. They'd like to triple it in the next coming years, and every one of these pipelines makes that a reality.
I guess also what I'm thinking is if the Enbridge pipeline does not go through, because there is such unified opposition by First Nations, then does Kinder Morgan become that much more important to them?
Well, I would say that that First Nations are almost equally opposed to the Kinder Morgan pipeline. There was recently a local signing of the Save the Fraser Declaration, which has now been signed on to 132 First Nations, and leaders from northern BC came down to sign with the Tsleil-Waututh and the Squamish here in the Lower Mainland, and that was really intended to send a signal to the government that the First Nations were going to stand with each other both on the Northern Gateway and the Kinder Morgan proposals.
And I understand there's quite a lot of local opposition in the Lower Mainland here to the Kinder Morgan pipeline.
Yeah, and in other parts of the province. We've been doing a series of town hall meetings to help raise awareness and answer people's questions about this pipeline. We've held the first two here in Vancouver, but starting in August, we're going to be in the Fraser Valley, and we'll be meeting with people there who have also told us they're very concerned. And certainly not a traditional environmentalist, but they don't want to live on top of a tar sands pipeline.
Well, thanks so much for talking to us this morning, Sven, and good luck with that campaign.
Thanks again for having me on.
I've been speaking with Sven Biggs. He is campaign director with Tanker Free BC.